This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic Banter!
Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun!
Dynamic Banter!
Mark and Horn!
And make it good!
Dynamic Banter!
Don't forget the history road!
Dynamic Banter!
Time to shut up!
Start the show!
From the 17th to the 22nd, I'll be at Moon Tower Festival in Austin, Texas. On the 23rd of April, I'll be in New York City at The Stand. On the 24th of April, I'll be at the Stress Factory in New Jersey. On the 25th, I'm back at The Stand. 26th of April, and doing Surrounded in Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's half sold out. You better get on your ass. And May 7th is Surrounded at the Netflix. What is that? Hi, sorry, I had to take care of something.
What happened? Are you okay?
I'm okay.
This is a crazy week for Mike Falzone.
No, Steve. It's been a crazy 2.5 months.
Oh, yeah.
For Mike Falzone.
Oh, man.
But I really think that things are on the up and up. And last time I said that, somebody tried to
hack
my shit. But I really do think things are on the up and up finally. I had a wacky day yesterday.
Dude, I need to talk about it because...
Let's talk about it.
Well, I don't know how it... Where's the Mexican hat dance? I need
PayPal.
PayPal if you don't want to use the Venmo. PayPal is really good.
Say PayPal if you don't have a Venmo. And if you don't need to cash out.
And don't even talk about Don't even talk about Zelle.
Why is Zelle such a huge fucking pain in the ass?
Fuck Zelle. One day we're going to be like, Zelle.
Let's give out our Zelle passwords on the show so people know what a fucking pain in the ass that is.
1, 2, 3. Poop and pee is my password. Zeros and threes.
That's a good, dude. And we're talking about up letters. We're talking about down letters.
It's a good password, isn't it? Yeah, of course. Lowercase, first letter.
Some characters in there, special characters. No.
Dude, do you know that part of the Mexican hat dance song where things kind of like slow down for a second? No, it goes like, and then it's like,
I've never listened to it that far.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Let's give it a listen. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song.
Are we going to get dinged for this? Is this the ding song?
No way. This is the Mexican hat dance is in the public domain. It must be. Up to El Torito, we've got burritos filled with cum. Órale, mijo, you want mole? We got mole, mijo. Claro que sí, compra un burrito, mijo, con carnitas y mole. Con chorizo, otra vez, también. También queso y se vaya.
Yeah, can I get a spicy gordita crunch?
Muchas gracias, mijo. Absolutely, you may have it, my boyfriend. Do you have a boyfriend? You're pretty.
Do you guys have Chipotle Crunch?
Do you have a free Friday night this week?
Let me get your number.
May I have your number, claro que sí, so that I may call you at night in la noche.
His wife is behind him, like,
no, you're not doing that. Also, you're from Jersey.
Why are you talking like that?
If you took like Kay out on a date, what would they do? Where would they go?
What would they do? If I took you out on a date, what would they do?
Mike, I've got some. I had an interesting experience, nowhere near as year defining. As yours.
Okay, sure.
Yesterday.
I can't wait to hear about it.
But I got it. Let's just get this out of the way because this is so fresh and
you know, maybe this could be a little bit of a learning experience for some of the listeners, a cautionary tale.
Sure.
But also, like, I'm waiting on bated breath on what the results of this analyzation this foreign body, this nightmare thing that made itself in your body,
this alien rock in
this
my body,
this son or daughter,
this black hole son growing in my kidney,
this bastard child ripping up your kidney, dude.
In my eyes, in this bone, in my kidney, no one knows. When the day plays the stint, then you rip it out my hole. Black or sun, warm your gun.
Mira, mijo, es un quesadilla con queso.
Mijo, este quesadilla tienes tres queso.
Yeah, I'll have a three cheese.
Okay. You sure?
Can I get a three taco cheese Doritos Locos taco crunch?
Y qué quirocito. Y mira, mijo, es un cutie over here.
Dude, did I tell you we used to go to the drive-thru like real, real late at night as soon as my town got a Taco Bell and just order things that weren't on the menu? Let me get a grande su grande crunch.
We did love doing that.
Let me get muchos bel muchos.
This is going to spread out into the universe now. I think it's time.
Yeah.
But in our small friend circle, there's a very funny way to say a popular food item at Taco Bell that we love.
Uh-huh.
You've of course heard of the beefy five-layer burrito.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You've heard of it.
Go ahead.
Now, this is something that Matt Robb coined this term and is now in part of our vocabulary. One night we were ordering Taco Bell and it just came out of his mouth like that.
I'm waiting. Came out of his mouth.
Hang on, I gotta write this like down. This. Sorry, and I know it's my story, but I gotta write this down. Something just came to me.
Tacos del muchos talk.
So, one night he was just ordering Taco Bell, and it came out like, "Yeah, let me get PP Violator."
And which Star Wars was that?
And it then became PP five later. And so now it's like a challenge to go to Taco Bell and ask for a PP five later.
How often do they, if you say it serious enough, do they not bat an eye?
It totally works every time.
Because the five layer part is what, how many shits do they have that's five layer?
And also they're just like, on autopilot. Like, these people have been working for hours toiling over
the
this.
Taco Bell employees are just hearing the last thing.
Yeah. And they're probably hearing it like this too.
PP5 later.
So you can fully say PP5 later, and we try every time to say it even clearer.
Yeah.
That it's not PP5
later. Please, one.
PP5 later. And then so we were like, there's got to be more that we can do. And so I came up with the chicken Stacy Diaz.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good.
And so you get one PP5 later, one chicken Stacy Diaz. Yeah.
Every now and again, throw in a bel muchos muchos.
And then a bel muchos muchos.
And just see what you get.
And that's a Zaragoza and Falzone special. Yeah. It's on the secret menu.
And it does come in a box.
Dude, that's so funny. I do love it because we got to have fun, you know?
You have to. You have to have fun. Life is short and life is crazy.
That's right.
If this week has taught us nothing, it's that life is absolutely batshit crazy. We're 39 and 40, 41.
Dude, I'm about to be 42.
42,
dude.
Almost made it, respectively, right? And by the time you're this age, we feel like we've been around, We're not young. We're not super old. But you feel like you've been around. You're like, man, life really tosses some shit at you.
And there's been some stuff for sure.
There's very, for better or worse, it's like our minds work in a way where it's like, we're not going to be super surprised by that much. And then an experience rolls into your life, blows into your life with the wind.
Yeah.
And really messes up your whole perception of like how much there is that you haven't even been close to experiencing yet.
It's like that meme of like the guy, like, you know, I don't know if this is a specific one, but there's one that's like in my head. It's like the guy's like smiling and there's like a baseball bat about to hit him in the head at like full speed.
And the baseball bat says, "Stint removal, no string."
No string. Yep.
And then there's another bat in the distance. It says PP5 later.
Dude, yeah, exactly.
There's too many
ordering a PP5 later and then stint without string.
Stint removal, no string.
Fuck, that's going to be a meme, isn't it?
Dude, it also sounds like Pornhub search.
It's
small, like... dumb, idiot, blonde, stint removal, no string.
PP5 later.
BBC5 later.
Five peepees later.
Thick redhead experiences stint removal, no string.
Pog. Big, heavy naturals.
Heavy, natural, no sedation. Let me get a no sedation, Belmuchos Muchos.
Computer, whip up some heavy naturals and a PP5 later.
Can I get a PP5 lidocaine, no string?
Dude, you're going to be able... We were talking about, like, what would make the world a better...
PP5 lidocaine.
Very good. We can't move over that.
I just wanted to pause on that.
I'm glad you did. Although there are so many little morsels from the show that someone in the comments will be like, when Mike said that and they went right through it, I lost my mind. I love when that happens.
Yeah, because
it's just... That's why you got to listen to the show a couple times.
Just remind, if you ever hear one of those, just remind me of it so I can make it into something
just
later.
Remind him of it.
Write it down.
Go ahead, tell him.
Write it down so I can remember it later, please, because I need it.
Dude, so we were talking about what would make the world a better place, and we were like, maybe if we took money out of the equation or capitalism or whatever.
Or more capitalism.
And we kept coming to the solution. We kept like, you know, and we're idiots. We're children. Mm-hmm. We don't have college level degrees.
No, we have life experience and that's it.
We have life experience.
Well,
and
wait a minute. I have a college level degree.
Okay.
I forget about it though. That's how much I don't use it.
Yeah. Don't discredit that. That's work. That's work you put
in. I did all that work. Dude, I did all that work in college. I did. I got denied from the college that I wanted to go to. I took extra courses every summer and every break to matriculate into the system. And I still super went with you when you were like, we don't have college degrees.
And you're like, yeah, we don't. We're idiot morons.
And then my brain, which is completely detached.
You disavowed like years of your life.
Dude, my brain was like, whoa!
Hold up. What was, how many years were you in college?
4 plus every break there was, with the exception of like one. The summer going into college, which
so
is like, which is like such a specific summer. Dude, that's American Pie summer, is going from high school to college.
Yeah.
I was in night school with adults the whole time trying to get enough credits to matriculate in. And then every winter break and every spring break, I was doing courses.
Wow, you were just fucking working your ass off.
Then I got a double major.
Dude, you were always a very goal-oriented gentleman, weren't you?
My parents were always like, dude, if you go to college and you pay your own way, then we support you being... They were cool with me being a musician as long as I like got a college degree and paid all my own.
Because they wanted something for you to fall back on.
Yeah, they were like, just know when it doesn't work out. That you can do other stuff.
You still have the degree. Yeah, that's good. We're idiots, and we were talking. I mean, you know, you forgot 4+ years of college.
Yeah.
But you deleted it from your life.
Yeah, let's talk about what I did in college. Almost got thrown out for hiring a stripper the last day of freshman year, and would routinely steal the hubcaps off all the security cars. Also, there was this one kid I really didn't like, and I with the help of security, I strung his bike that he got everywhere up the flagpole.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of antics you get into.
That's college.
That's college,
but
man.
We're stupid. Aside from that, we're stupid.
We're stupid. We're stupid, and you know, and especially the guys that I'm specifically talking about, that we were having this like, how do we make life better, conversation, and we were like, you know, what are our like not scientific minds think could solve like the problem of the world of humanity,
which is sometimes the perspective that you need.
Totally, and we kind of came down to the conclusion that like, well, humans are gonna human, and there's always gonna be a power struggle, mm-hmm. kind of like in the animal kingdom. There's like always gonna be like. The two fighters that like fight for like the lead, being the leader of that like pack or something. And there's always going to be someone that wants to be like a leader or someone, or we need a leader, or there's always going to be someone that wants to have more than someone else has. Uh-huh. And there we're just never going to get that part of humanity out of humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're like, all right, so then what's the next solution to that? And we were saying the replicator. Which is like a Star Trek thing, or like
yeah,
a.
It sounds like.
Well, I think Star Trek had.
We have one of those, I think. You're talking about. Let me grab it.
Oh yeah, go get it. There it is.
Yeah.
Can you make?
Oh, I just figured something out. I'll put the word solution into the replicator.
There you go. Give make us
solution.
A
solution.
Solution. Replicate us a solution.
Did that work?
Well, it seems like it's analyzing.
It's doing something. It's buffering. Going,
yeah.
Capitalism.
Capitalism.
Pollution. Global warning.
Warning.
PB5 later.
So
I don't think it did anything.
So like Star Trek has something else, I think. But the replicator. Is it a replicator? Mm-hmm. So the replicator can make like anything. And if, yeah. In the Star Trek world, now listen, Star Trek is like too military for me. Like it's too like clinical military seriousness. Star Wars, I need fantasy in my sci-fi to make sure. It like more fun, I think.
You need that fun story.
I need some fun magic or some shit. Star Trek doesn't really fuck with magic. It's very science and militaristic. Like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who's the guy that created Star Trek? What's his name? Hang on, I can do this.
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. And she created Star Trek in 1947.
Right.
Gene Roddenberry. Yeah, it's Gene Roddenberry. And you fucking nerds were like, you're a nerd, and you don't know who fucking Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry.
Beat me up, loser.
Gene Roddenberry was like a fucking, like, he's like a submarine. He was like a military and a submarine or something.
Oh, so he was like, what if we did that? But
so it's like all of it is very military submarine, like, you know, like, whatever. All of it's very militaristic. And I don't really love that part of it. Sure. But the replicator, like the Star Trek future, I don't know if you know this, but the Star Trek future is like a perfect, like the world of Star Trek is like a perfect harmonious like world because everybody has everything they need.
Because of the replicator.
Because of the replicator.
Every house has a replicator.
Yeah, and you can make whatever you want with it, limitlessly. So you could be like, Big Mac, baby, and it gives you a Big Mac, and it tastes fucking fresh and delicious, and it's right there. And you go like, I need lube, but not the sticky kind. I don't want it sticking everywhere.
I don't want the oil base, I want the water base.
I don't want to fucking take a shower if I'm just jacking off. Ay, mijo, qué cute. What do you have to comida, mijo? Look at this cutie, un gordito, mucho chiquitito.
Cutie fat girl. Look at this cutie fat girl.
Look at this cute little fat girl. Ay, 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 mija. She get cute, mija. What are you doing on Tuesday night or next week?
Gordo.
Una gordito chiquitita muy bonita.
Every time you go into fucking
El Pollo Loco, you can't go in there like without being hassled by the guy in there.
Hey, this is why I don't come here.
Assaulted.
He white guy who works in an office building. Like, I can't.
Ay, comes security from the office meeting.
I don't know. I'm just trying to...
Ay, mijo, what do you have in your briefcase?
That's not important. Can I get a taco salad?
Absolutely. You get whatever you want. I give it to you. Okay. I give you everything you want.
I get extra shrimp on the taco salad. And I can eat the shell, right? I can eat the shell it comes in.
Absolutely. Eat whatever you want,
and
baby.
And my wife wants something. This is my wife.
Orale, you have a wife?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. You guys like to do quien sabe uno, dos, tres?
You like to do the swap?
Un tres? Un tres, amigos?
You like to do the bailada de tres?
I don't need con three people?
Me and you and your what?
Mimi babies con you and me? And the wife no go out?
And the wife maybe holding in camera?
Maybe the wife out going grocery shopping?
You put in your bulk on my replicator?
I just want my Fiesta Bowl. I just want to go.
And I don't even need the shrimp on it. Just the salad.
Ay, mijo, you get the shrimp for free.
Con salida.
En un pescado con nada.
Do you want it? The fuck is what?
Pero gratis. Sí, gratis es el shrimp. Pescado. Lo pescado es gratis para tú y para tu familia.
Can we fuck his familia?
Free fish for your whole family.
He said he wanted to fuck my family?
He said he... I think he said...
The guy in the back.
The guy in the back said, give free fish to his whole family.
What would they do? Where would they go?
Where do you put all that?
So anyway, the replicator, dude. The replicator, if we had a replicator...
It's like a 3D printer, but in the future?
Yeah, it's 3D printer, but like one-to-one accuracy.
Great.
Of anything you want. And you could have like big, giant replicator... Or you can have, like, a little one in your home or something.
Are you confined by the size? Like, can I not have a little replicator and order a car?
You could totally... Well, that's a good question.
I mean, I could order the car piece by piece.
It looks like the size of a microwave.
The replicator.
Mm-hmm. So can I have a Toyota, a 96 Toyota Siri. Corolla, but it's this big?
Can the Star Trek replicator give me a Toyota Corolla?
Un auto pequeño.
Wait, it says my power's not charging for some reason.
Brother, but it does say it.
These things will lie to you.
See, bup, 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 bup. When I got my stick removed, that's what sound it made.
Mike, can you please tell people what happened to you and how it, what kind of advice do you have in like preventing this kind of thing from
well,
happening?
I guess since it's so, I guess. Advice wise, if you have kidney stone, I had a kidney stone and I had what they call a lithotripsy, which is when it's the second time I've had it in my life. You might recall a couple of years ago, there was a whole episode dedicated to how they put me out and Dr. Steve, my guardian angel, my hero, had to go inside me with a camera attached to a laser gun and a little basket and put me out and went in through my penis hole, my cock. Picture it. However you're picturing it is accurate. And he goes up through your penis. Now, this is fine. Picture this, Steve. This will make the rest of the story better. Picture this is fine because I'm out.
I'm ready for it.
It's like a dream.
I'm ready for it. This happened to you.
I'm talking about back in the day.
Okay.
And they go in. And they go in through your penis. And then they go in through your bladder. So it goes urethra, which is penis.
One more.
Go ahead. Add it
and they're all different depending on how nervous
Everyone's
you are.
Everyone's different.
Yeah.
And they go in through this, and then they go up your bladder is next.
Yeah.
And then from your bladder, there's two little antennae that split off, and your kidneys feed through your ureters to your bladder throughout your urethra.
Yeah. Sometimes
and that's how you get it out.
And then the doctor just...
You ever have a piece of boba stuck in the straw?
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. So...
And you could feel that real well?
Do they have to choose what tube from the...
Yeah, like he made...
Wow, you got like an incision?
Like he had to draw on me with a marker before the operation. So he was like, that size.
So did they, where did they cut into you at all?
Or no
you
cuts.
Just went right in the peepee?
Right in the peepee.
Could you go into the peepee to fix like other problems in your body?
What other problems?
Like, let's say like,
it would have to be a problem along urinary. That system.
Okay. Yeah. But you don't need surgery for that. You could go through the peepee.
Well, like if there was a problem with like maybe if they wanted to zap something in your bladder or something, that's how they do it without cutting you.
What if I had an obstruction in my colon? Could they get it out through my pee-pee?
Did you request that?
Yes.
It's like I have a tickle in my I think I might have strep throat.
Is right there any up way here.
You can put a camera in my car? Can
just
you see?
Through my car.
They're like, I guess technically we could, but it would take a long I don't know if we have enough camera.
Let's go.
So that's the process I had to get. The first time when we talked about it 5 years ago, it's like they put me out, they go into my kidney, past all that stuff we were talking about, and they found it. It was like I had a stone kind of hiding in the crevasses of my kidney. They found it, they zapped it, they scoop it out with a little basket, and then you're out. This time.
Yeah.
This time, dude. When I started having the kidney, I was sick with the flu or something for like 5 days. I got over all my symptoms. And that night I was so relieved to like not have flu-like symptoms anymore. And then my back pain started. So
no
I was like,
fucking
fuck.
Way, like right away.
Yeah. And Zoya was like, is it what we think it is? And I spent, usually when I get a kidney stone, I walk around the house a lot. And I'm like, maybe it's a muscle thing, whatever. In my head, I'm like, it could be anything else, right? And so, like, I knew. And I'm like,
while
fuck.
You're chugging water? Are you doing it, like, while you're chugging water?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm having hydronephrosis the whole time, which is when there's an obstruction. So the water that I'm drinking is backing up and swelling my kidney like a water balloon.
So you had the feeling of having to pee, but you couldn't pee?
I could pee, but it's like only my right side is working and I'm just filling up my left side. So intense back pain. But the good part of this is my fifth time having kidney stones, fourth or fifth. So it's like, I know, thank you. So it's like, I know what shit feels like by this point, but the anxiety part is like, now that I know what it feels like, I know about this part, which is being in the waiting room.
You know what's coming, yeah.
Being in the emergency room with God knows whoever else until they could see you.
Which is a nightmare place to be.
Knowing that you, getting the CAT scan, getting the CT scan, and them telling you like you're not going to be able to pass it because it was an 8.1, which is 8.1 millimeters.
Jesus Christ.
So that can't pass through. You only like... something like 40% of people could pass an 8.1. And you're in immense like pregnancy pain this whole time. From the second you know what it is to like being in the hospital, they just like send you home with pain stuff. Yeah. And then the next thing that happens is once they know you can't pass it, is like they schedule this operation. They're able to see through the CAT scan where it was. So it wasn't in the kidney. Once it's like, dude, it's like you're home free kind of when it gets to your bladder. A lot of people, we probably described this last time, but pissing it out isn't the worst part. That's like what you would think the worst part was. But that's like, it's home free once it gets to your bladder. It was embedded in the wall of they call it a UV junction.
Which is
where you have a train. Everyone has a train in your body. Everybody knows
and
that.
And Ringo Starr narrates the train.
Thomas the piss engine. So it was embedded where the ureter, which is the most painful part, meets the bladder.
The ureter is those little tubes.
Yeah, kidney, ureter, bladder, cock.
And those ureter tubes are smaller than the urethra.
Probably.
I think they are, which is why it's so painful when it goes through.
Yeah,
them.
And you're having like a jagged, like fucking piece of gravel.
It all up.
So it got, I think when I was having my shit in November, I think this was what was happening. And then it just embedded in the wall. It stuck like a ninja star in the wall.
Because it was sharp as fuck.
Like if you ever shot a dart and missed the dartboard and it goes into the wall, that's what happened. Ugh. So I have this giant stone that's kind of obstructing my shit. But like so close they were able to see during the CAT scan that like you're so close.
Right.
The night they told me it was so close, I was still in immense pain. I went to the Comedy Store for a set, and I was like, dude, I was slamming my back against the wall.
Let's go.
I was at the Improv upstairs in the green room, slamming my back against the wall just in case that would wiggle.
Trying to dislodge it.
I didn't know it was, like, in the wall, right?
Yeah.
And I was, like, hitting potholes.
Yeah, trying to hit all the bugs.
I was going down Coldwater Canyon, and I was hitting potholes, and I was like, fuck, maybe that one did it.
Yeah.
Just trying to get it to drop, you know, because I was like, it's going to suck.
While you're still
doing
shows and shit.
Because I was like, no matter what, I'll do anything to avoid this surgery.
Right.
So couldn't do it. When they get in there, they see that it's lodged.
Guys, Merry Christmas to us at Dynamic Banter, to you and your family. Let's get some ads in here, right? Oh! Guys, Factor. Yum, yum, yum. In the tum-tum.
Love Factor. Can't get enough.
I want it all over my body. I don't want it just in my tummy. And here's the thing, guys. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Not to mention so good, flavor-wise.
It is
super good.
You pop
these things in, and you're like, you know, I'm very apprehensive about, like, microwavable stuff. And then you do it, and you're like, did I accidentally go to a restaurant real
quick? It does taste, it somehow doesn't taste like microwaved food.
They do a great job.
It tastes like you got it from a restaurant, like you got it delivered or something.
It's, yeah.
And it does deliver right to your dang door, doesn't it?
Dude, it's also hotter than any delivery food that
ever you'll ever get.
Yeah. Deliver a hot meal to yourself.
And guess what? It's ready to eat in 2 minutes. And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages.
Snacks.
To help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/banter50 and use that code banter50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code banter50 at factormeals.com/banter50 to get 50% off your first box. Plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. How about that?
How about
ain't that nice?
What would they do? Where would they go?
What would they do? Thank you so much, Factor. Hey, guess what? Let's talk about fume.
Okay? You're trying to smoke and we know it's hard. Not only do you have all the physical stuff, but there's also the physical stuff of like you like holding something. You need something to hold. You need something to go outside and do. You need something to breathe in. You need something to breathe out. And you don't want that stuff to be harmful to you. So how do you do that? You replace it with something like fume.
That's right, because here's the deal. Breaking a bad habit is really hard.
It's so hard.
And we've all been there. And fume is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Because it's literally not about giving up. It's about switching up.
Yeah.
And fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. It's a device that's innovative and award-winning, and it gives you flavored air.
Also, it looks fancy.
It's fancy.
It's fun. It's like magnetic. It's fun to fidget
with. It's got a fidget feature to it, which is super rad. And instead of vapor, it's flavored air. And instead of electronics, it's natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, fume is good. It's a habit that you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Oh, and guess what? Fume's just released a magnetic stand for your fume. I bet you didn't guess that. I bet you didn't guess it because I say guess what? So there's nothing. You can't lose it. If it, like, you know, like, where's my dang?
Where is it, dude?
Where's my dang fume? Come on!
You can actually put it up Never mind.
And I'll tell you what it does. It's this magnetic stand, and you don't lose it around the house anymore.
That's fun.
All right, how about that? So start your year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/banter and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of our show 10% off when they use the code banter to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Thank you so much. Phew.
What a great spot for that little drop.
It was. I wish I could have stopped it. Because that would have been a good place to stop it. But thank you so much to our sponsors, HeadGum. Thank you to Leah and Kevin and Josh killing it with the memes.
Oh, yes. Doing a great job. Everyone on the team is firing on all cylinders.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
So I go to the hospital. I go to UCLA. Dr. Yagubian is my new urologist, and I love him. Shout out Dr. Yagubian. He's my new Dr. Steve. And he's not dead, but I'll point up to heaven one time. So he goes in. I'm nervous as fuck. I go, this is the part I really don't like talking about, it, so I'll speed through. You know, they put me out for this, right? So before they put you out, they need to... It's not just like you're not a little kid that you can't just like breathe happy juice.
Yeah.
They got to give you an IV and stuff. Two nurses couldn't find. Yeah, dude. So I could show you like the bruises. I have bruises up here for where they tried and failed. They tried three places in my hand. They're bringing in other nurses and doctors to talk to me and pretend like nothing's
and
happening.
It hurts.
I'm like, dude, I'm too
time.
Smart yeah. to know. Like, I can have, I'm a stand-up comedian. I could have a lot of things going on here. So I'm having this conversation and fully aware of everything that's happening over here.
And not listening to the conversation probably.
No, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this doesn't matter to me. Because I know what's happening. Because I hear them being like, it blew. It blew out. So when they blow you out, accidentally, they're not trying to do it on purpose. It doesn't mean they're bad at their job. It just whatever. Sorry, yeah. They tried to put it in, and have you ever had a blowout? So it goes into your vein, which hurts like a motherfucker until it doesn't, and then it goes out the other side.
And so it goes through.
It goes through the vein. They're like, well, we can't put your sleepy juice in there because it'll just leak out into your body. So they got to find another spot. And then there's this old lady like, where is your vein? What's happening to your vein?
And like hitting me.
And I'm like, dog, I swear to God, they're in there. I didn't put them nowhere. Right. So they end up getting it, and it was the most terrible. No. When I was in the hospital when I almost died and I had four IVs in me, that was the most terrible of all. I felt like that guy, Red, whatever, who fights Wolverine all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this was a very unpleasant experience, but everybody did their best. I'm in the operating room, and it's right before, like, you see everything before you go out, and you hear everything. And by that point, I'm like, you're tethered to the bed. So there's no, like, fear at that point. You're just like... Give me this.
Let's go.
The fucking, what are they called? Anesthesiologist. Is like, it's going to be a little spicy going in. And no one's ever said that to me before.
What does that mean?
I was like, whatever, dude, I'm here. Like, give me literally whatever. Put gas in my, I don't give a fuck.
Let's go.
And so it starts going in, and it's like somebody is like pouring like spicy margarita into my shit, and like it burns a lot. And I'm like, whatever. I really don't care by that point because I'm in such discomfort. Like, my arm is all fucked up. And it was just an interesting feeling. I'm like, it literally feels like they put the IV in there and then they put like Tapatio. So I was like,
spicy
fuck,
blood.
This is fucking crazy. So then I'm out and I wake up and I'm in the recovery room and they're like, what do you want for a snack, bud? You okay? And I said, I don't know. Dude, when I was in the recovery room, usually you're loopy as fuck. And I don't know why this happened. And you could ask Zoya, but I wasn't loopy at all. I was just like perfectly like, I'm like, oh, I'm awake. Like, I just took a nap and now I'm like good. And I'm like joking around with people. Dude, the nurse.
What the fuck?
So when you're in the recovery room, it's like the emergency room, but everyone is like screened off and there's a bunch of people recovering from processes that they just had, yeah, operations they just had. And I'm in my own little screen section, and the nurses are so fucking nice in there. And they just want you to, they want to make sure you're okay. They want to make sure you don't fall. They want to make sure you don't have any like immediate complications or blood clots. They take real good care of you. So they're like, we got you some orange juice. Like, they ask you, like, do you want cranberry, apple, or orange? I said cranberry, I hear, is good for all this
for stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Well, we don't have any of that. So do we have a Bloody Mary that did go into your arm? You want to finish that? So they bring me some orange juice and graham crackers, which has reignited my love for graham crackers.
Graham crackers are great.
And I'm just so relieved, and I'm like perfectly like cognizant, like I'm aware, I'm not loopy or whatever.
Like, you just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, and I was like,
is
nice.
Is it the type of
like,
anesthesia they gave you, maybe? Or
maybe, I really don't know, because they really anticipate you being like, you know, you come out of it and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, you say fucked up shit.
Yeah.
The nurse that was like checking on everyone, I was like, I called him in. Zoya's right here. I was like, dude, be honest with me right now. And he closed the curtain. He's like, yeah, are you okay? And I said, in there, in the operating room, did everybody see my penis?
Everybody.
He's like, is he all right? And Zoya's like, yeah, he's an idiot.
He has to know.
And that's when he like got that. I was joking. And he was like, yeah, dude, everyone.
The
and he's like,
hospital.
Everyone's talking about it. They've never seen one like that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not good or bad, but they've never seen one like that.
We had to bring all the staff
it's
in.
Like, is it cursive? So, and then they have you pee. They were like, we got to have you pee before you leave.
Scary,
and you
though.
Don't stand up to pee. They give you a thing and they put your shit in it. And they're like, you need to pee before you leave.
Like,
we
while
need to
you're
know
just
you
laying
pee.
There, sitting there.
And it was like peeing like hot chocolate. And it was the spicy, and I feel bad for people who have STIs, because it was the like hottest, most painful piss I've ever taken. But it's also like you get this fucking sense of relief, because if you don't pee, that means additional shit has to happen.
Like, things are working.
Like when you get a tattoo and they have to do shading over a part where they've already done whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to get even worse.
Yeah.
So, so I pee. It's terrible. The doctor comes in, and the doctor was so good. They rushed the surgery because I was going to Houston with Santino. And I was like, dude, I really don't want to cancel this trip. If we can do the surgery before that, he's like, I got you. We'll do the surgery. And I was like, if there's any way at all to not have a stent in, that would be amazing. And he was like, well, let's do the surgery, because I'd rather you have a stent than have a stone in the plane. Because if the stone moves and you're in kidney stone pain on the plane, there's nowhere to go. And there's no way to take care of that. And you could be like, you could die from that. So I was like, whatever. And just kind of praying. There was like a 10% chance he wouldn't have to leave a stent. So the nurse who I traumatized is gone. Zoya is there. Dr. Yugubian comes in, and he was like, how you feeling? You all right? And I was like, well, I feel like shit, but I thank you so much for doing the surgery. I'm so happy we got it done before this trip. I can't thank you enough. And he's like, I just want you to know that we had to leave a stent. And I said, do I have a string? Because that's what I'm familiar with. A stent, they put, it actually anchors in your kidney, and it goes down through that ureter, and it comes out in your bladder. And when I had a string the first time, there's a string attached to the part that comes out of your bladder, and they wrap it around your cock and they tape it to your cock, which makes getting a boner the worst.
Yeah,
thing
for sure.
Because it's pulling on your kidney every time you wake up.
Oh my God.
Anyway, that was the past. He goes, I had to give you a stent. I'm sorry about that, but we had to do it. And there's no string. So now a brand new anxiety that I've never had comes into my being. I wouldn't even say like it nestled in my mind. It filled my entire self with anxiety. And so I know, here's what my schedule is. I get to go to Houston and do 4 shows with my favorite comedian and have basically the pinnacle of my stand-up comedy experience is being able to travel to Houston with my favorite comedian and be able to write with him and travel with him and watch him work out stuff. So top, like, aside from being with Zoya, top experiences of all time. And knowing that as soon as that's over, there's going to be 2 days and then they got to go get this stent.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a week and a half after surgery. Yesterday, what time is it? Less than 12 hours ago, I have the following experience.
Holy shit. Wait, so just so I have this clear, the initial surgery was to install the stent.
Dude, what if you were like, let me make sure I got this. You got kidney stuff. You got kidney stuff at the
beginning. Yeah. So let me get this straight.
Your back hurts.
Your back hurts. Yeah. You just had the flu. So, what was that like?
The flu, dude. So you're like coughing? I'm sorry. I've been thinking about that the whole time.
So, okay. So the surgery is to install the stent.
The surgery is to remove the stone. They didn't laser the stone this time. They got the stone, took it out so they can analyze it so they know why I get these.
Then they put it back.
Put it back. Shake me up.
But there's two procedures, though.
Yes, there's like the procedure, and then the procedure after the procedure is the hotel lobby.
Yeah. No,
it's, so they take the stone out, and they put the stent in to keep everything open so nothing collapses, so I can keep like evacuating myself and the waste out of my body.
So what would happen if they took the stone out and then didn't put a stent in?
There is, I don't know exactly what happens, but there's a chance that, like, you know, you get spasms and your shit closes up, and then it's like, it doesn't matter if there's a stone blocking your shit because your shit is like closed.
Oh, so the stone removal process like makes it hard for
I guess it could collapse. It could like collapse. A vein could collapse.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So there's a stent in there to keep everything running smoothly.
100%.
It's a good thing. It's just very uncomfortable. I can't really describe it other than like the first time I had a stent 5 years ago when I would smoke weed, I thought that I was just being paranoid. But I'm like, when I smoke weed, I could feel from the string coming out to my kidney. I could feel plastic. And I was like, dude, that has to be just my mind being like, you know, there's it's there. There's
something in there, yeah.
But this time I was like, oh no, I was right. And I was right.
So you can feel it in there.
You can feel it. My body, for whatever reason, they use like a super soft one. So he kept calling me throughout the week and a half. And he was like, are you okay? You okay? I guess a lot of people feel it the whole time and it's uncomfortable. Now not having it, I can feel, first couple days I could feel the whole thing. The whole way through, I could feel it every time I pissed. Even before the removal surgery, when I was feeling pretty much like 90%, when I pissed, like towards the end of the piss, I could feel like I could feel it in my body.
Oh, that must be such a fucking weird.
Let me feeling, get a button, man. Just for a little break. Let me get a button.
What do you want?
Just pick one.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
Well,
in the power of
a yeah, that's the one. That one makes me feel good. So, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's go, baby.
So it comes time to take. I had anxiety about taking the stent out without the string. Hardcore. I was more afraid of that than almost anything I'd ever been through. Because even operations, even if you know what they're doing,
yeah,
and you're like, that's wacky. You're like, I'm going to be out. So they're going to wake me up and they're going to feed me graham crackers, yeah, and tell me about the exactly. shit that they did. First time I had the string. So 5 years ago, whenever it was, they unwrap the shit and they're like, this is going to suck. You ready? Deep breath. And then they pull it
out. They just pull it out.
And you're like a little lawnmower after that. And you're like, that sucked, but at least it's over. This time, the doctor tells me we got to go in and get it. And I'm like, immediately, like, okay, can I be sedated? Could I be out? He's like, no, we do it in the office. You're going to be awake. We're going to go in.
That's a horrible thing to hear them say, probably.
But he's so cool. It's like, I trust him.
Yeah.
You know? Dr. Yagubian, shout out, 5 stars.
Did he say why you can't be out?
I think it's just a matter of like,
well, it's like, dude, I could have,
if they didn't give me the anxiety medicine, they're like, I could drive there and drive back. And the process is like 60 to 30 seconds to go get it. Yeah, it's the prep that takes longer. You know?
And that's where all the anxiety is because you're like waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
I thought the anxiety couldn't get any higher until I got in the room. So we go to Yale. It's like 3 o'clock. We're filling out all the check-in information. And I'm like, dude, in seconds, in like 45 minutes, there's going to be a guy with a camera inside my penis. And I'm going to be so awake for it, like I am right now.
You're going to feel it.
Like if I had the doctor as a special guest come in and give us both cameras, that's what it's like.
Oh.
So, dude, I'm like, they ended up giving me, what was the name of the thing? Ativan.
Ativan, yeah.
Which, like, God love you, yeah. Ativan. Thank God for everything you do. It didn't work on me. I was involuntarily shaking, like I was like freezing. And they're like, are you cold? I'm like, no.
I'm terrified.
I'm just aware.
Yeah.
Right now. I told you to give me stuff to make me a zombie.
Yeah. Because I knew I feel this way.
Yeah, because I have past experience. I have too much past experience trauma. To not know what to expect.
Yeah, fucking trauma. Like legit trauma.
Yeah, dude. I had already been through this and I was molested at daycare once. So there's like, I know too much. So, big applause. Like the applause.
Yeah, button, they needed it for that one.
So I go into this room, this examination room, and everyone's so fucking nice.
Are you laying down on a thing or are you?
I'm laying down on a table that I had never seen the shape of this table before. And I'm like laying wrong. They're like, no, your head goes there. And I'm okay. I'm like, how far down my mouth do I have to put the camera? So they're like, no, nice try.
Damn it.
So
you'd rather it go down your mouth, wouldn't
I'd rather it, yeah, really anywhere else. Really any, if they were like, we have to go in through your ear to get to your bladder, I'd be like, give it a shot.
Let's go.
So, so they're prepping me. They're like, take your bottoms off. And what we're going to do, here's the process. We're going to give you, iodine. Like you're going to look down, and the iodine is like copper color. So they're like, you're going to look down and you're going to think like you bled all over the place. You didn't breathe. This is iodine.
Jesus.
This is to clean you, right? And this was the funniest part by far. So she takes the iodine and she puts it on a towel and she's like cleaning my legs and then she cleans like my pelvis area. And then I'm sure this is because like people have complained about bad touch in the past.
Yeah.
She's so nice with my legs and she's so nice with my pelvis, dude. And then she like squeezes the rest out onto my cock.
Yeah.
Like it is like you're doing like a Dodger dog.
Put a ketchup and mustard
splashing all over the place. It's like, you were so nice with it. I can't get like a nice
wipe down.
I'm not
going to rub your cock.
It's like, no, people complained about the rubbing of the cock. I don't know if people were getting hard or whatever, but it was just so funny to have her be like, leg is clean. Leg is clean. Pelvis clean. And it's like splashing. I'm like.
In your mouth?
Yeah. That's nurse number one.
Okay.
Nurse number one is cleaning nurse. She did a great job. She's like, sorry. It's all, and it's literally all over the place.
She cleaned your pee-pee.
It's like if someone put teriyaki sauce on your dick and then it's just all over the place.
And it's
right?
just sitting there now.
And it's not, usually you think of medical stuff like how meticulous this medical process
sterile
is.
Sterile and.
Nice.
Just squeeze it all out.
Like Super Soaker 50. The original Super Soaker.
The original, that would spray everywhere.
The cisgender Super Soaker. So all that happens. And then next, a lidocaine nurse comes in. And she was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this syringe.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to shoot lidocaine down your urethra. So you're maybe in less discomfort when the camera goes in. So this is like, small training. Like if they, dude, if you were like an astronaut and they ran you through the training in like 30 seconds. So this is like, this is kind of like what this is going to be like. So they take it. She goes, there's no needle on this. We're just going to shoot lidocaine gel down your urethra.
But she'll stick the little tip of it inside.
Yeah. So they shoot lidocaine gel to numb the inside of my cock.
It's not supposed to go that way in there.
It's not the right way.
That's not the right way.
That's not, like when you see, like when your dad starts to get on the on-ramp or the off-ramp to the highway, and you're like, no,
way.
But in you.
What did that feel like? Something going, like being poured into you
Steve,
that way.
I'm one of your best friends.
Yeah.
Picture it. That's what it feels
like. Oh, wow.
That's whatever you're picturing is exactly what it feels
like. Could you feel it going all the way to your like kidney and stuff?
Yeah.
Or to your
bladder?
And they
were like, just breathe deep. And I was like,
no.
I literally, in my head, I went like this. And that's how my breathing was. So at that point, I'm like, my hands are like this. My legs are like this. They're like, you got to, I know it sucks, but you got to try to relax. They're like, do you have somebody out in the waiting room? And I was like, yeah, Zoya is my wife. She's out in the waiting room. She's like, do you want her in here? And I said, I don't know. I said, it's not going to be any better. She's just going to have to see me like this.
Yeah.
So I went back and forth with like, I don't know. Like Zoya had just asked me what I wanted to eat that night. And I was like, I don't know. What do you feel like eating?
Yeah, it was like that.
And she ends up coming in. And I'm so thankful that she was there. One, because she fucking loves this shit. And there's a giant screen that is going to show you on the camera what happens. And two, because I guess it was nice not to be alone. It didn't change any of the sensation, but I guess it was nice to be able to hold somebody's hand. Afterwards I was like, how was I? She was like, you were just breathing. And I was like, out of body experience, but in my body and feeling everything.
So you were like trying to maintain
the
yourself,
whole time. I was
but
like
on the inside, you're like, ugh! Yeah.
Yes, yeah. My thoughts were, this is the most scared I've ever been. Please, Ativan, do something. I was like, take some. I was waiting for like, you ever have morphine?
Yeah, no, I have not.
I was waiting. It literally, you feel it from your toes to your head. It like, you feel it fill you
it's
up.
It's like a chug
life
jug.
Meter. You know how when in the Ninja Turtles game where you find a full pizza?
Yeah.
And it fills up your life?
Yeah.
It's like that for pain.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this pill's going to kick in and I'm just going to be not painless, but in less anxiety, less nervous, and it's going to come over me like a wave. And that wave never came. I was just like regular, highest anxiety I've ever been ever.
Do you think you could have asked for more Ativan? Like
not
initially? Initially, like if you were like, can you give me more
like,
than
dude,
what you would
have
given?
God forbid this ever happens again, I'd be like, how about 2 milligrams?
Yeah, at least.
Or how about have somebody drive to my house and hit me in the head with a fucking
knock me the fuck
hammer.
Out, yeah.
So Zoya, after the gel thing, so my penis is getting numb. My
pee-pee
is getting numb.
Squeezing stuff into your fucking
cock. And the nurses, they hold it. And I'm like, okay. This is like, your brain is like, someone's holding my
cock.
Awesome.
My cock. But you're like, there's a pouring ooze into it.
Yeah, like,
it.
Okay, I'm going to hold your cock. And there we go. So gel is in, jelly donut dick. They're like, you're going to feel like you have to pee. And that's normal. Like that was going to like ease my shit. Like, don't worry. You're going to feel like you have to pee. I'm like, great. Now there's a room full of people and I have to feel like I have to pee. So Zoya is like, you know, doing the thing. She's so fucking sweet. She's like, breathe in for 7 seconds, hold it for 4, breathe out for 8. And the whole time I'm doing that, like every second I count is 1 second closer that the doctor is about to knock on the door. And when that doctor knocks on the door,
it's going to suck.
He's awesome and he knows how nervous I am. So he's going to be like, let's go. There's no like, okay, here's what's going to happen. And I don't want that because I know what's going to happen. This is 2.5 weeks of knowing what was going to happen. So that moment comes, and that's all I'm thinking about the whole time is the knock on the door from the doctor, because that's when it starts.
Are you, like, worried about that knock, or are you ready for it?
I'm ready for the – I know that – you know what was weird is, like, I'm highest anxiety I've ever been, and I know the knock is going to put it to a level that I had never been before. You know, let's do some ads.
Okay. Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah, it is time for ads.
Should we do ads?
I mean, I just
thought that was a funny break.
We could do
them,
and then I could put them in the 30-minute mark.
What are we at?
An hour.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
08.
Then just finish the story.
And we'll put it in at the 30-minute mark.
There's really not that much more
of
the story.
No, I need all of this. Yeah.
So the knock happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's go time. And half of my brain is like, we're going. And half of my brain is like, I've never been this scared for this like alien process.
Ugh.
It's like alien. It's like fire in the sky
it
type
is.
Shit. So he comes in and he's like, you know, the nurse is like, don't fight anything. Like, just try to be as relaxed as possible. We know it sucks. Just try to sink your butt into the thing. Like, the thing moves with you, so don't fight it. And he was like, okay, grabs my dick. And he's like, okay, the camera's going in. And he put the camera, he's like, big, deep breath. Whenever the doctor tells you to take big, deep breaths,
I just want to cry
something
about it.
Is happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's like, big, deep breaths. So the camera goes in, and it's like, again, like, the best way I could describe it is any guys out there, like, just exactly how you would think that that feels. And then it gets past a certain point, and I'm like, oh, God, right? And he's like, okay, that was the worst part. They never tell you about, like, this is the worst
part.
They're
yeah,
so good.
They are good.
And they've done it hundreds of times, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, that was the worst part. And I'm like, fucking great. But I still know, I have everything. I'm here. So I know everything is in me, right? So Zoya says it looks awesome on the screen. She told you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's all veins and smooth.
Yeah.
And you could see the stent. And so I guess there's a hole in this apparatus, in the camera apparatus, where they put forceps.
It can slide through the same thing where the camera is.
Yeah, and then you could open it and grab the stent and pull it out, right? So I'm telling you, dude, 30 to 60 seconds, just like he says. But during the 30, 60 seconds, I know this camera is in me.
Yeah.
I could feel every movement. I could feel him, like, looking around for it.
And grabbing
it. I could feel the thing going.
Oh,
I could feel, he tells the nurse, he's like, open it. And he opens it. And he's like, okay, let's close it. Let's grab it. I could, like, feel. I'm not looking at anything. No. I'm like, I was looking at the smoke detector the whole time. And I was like, there must be so many little things in the smoke detector that I don't understand. I wonder how it detects smoke. The whole fucking time. I was like, what an amazing machine. What an amazing species.
Who invented that?
Meanwhile, like, fucking spaceship is going down my cock. And I'm like, whoa, smoke detectors are important. We should change the batteries in the smoke detectors. So get
home. How many lives are saved every year with those things?
God bless our fire department. 9/11 is really fucked up.
That's like a little fireman in there.
So they open it, they grab it, and then it's like the first moment of relief that I've had in 2.5 months since JFL closed down was them saying, okay, we got it. We're going to remove the stent. Big, deep breaths. So they take the stent out, and it's just like when I had the string. It's okay. The same sensation.
Okay, okay.
And then everything's out. And then people are so fucking nice to you.
Dude, I would have cried.
When it's out.
I would have cried.
Oh,
like
I forgot one part. There were so many parts where I, because I was so aware, that I had to stop myself from saying something like wise ass.
Yeah.
So he got in there, and I don't know if it was because he was excited or if it was like to put my mind at ease. Because they see everything. They put water into you. They spray water into you.
They like flush you
out. So at one point they're like, okay, start the water. And then I could feel this camera shooting water into me. I was like, wait a minute, that's an out place, right? So they're filling my bladder with this water.
Wow.
And the doctor's like, your urine looks great right now.
Hell yeah.
And so that was the part. I was like, I told Zoya afterwards, I had to stop myself from being, oh, does my urine look great? Why don't we take a picture? Why don't we make some content? How great my urine looks. Why don't we screen grab this?
That's what I want right now.
And I was so ready to say that, but I was like, don't make anyone laugh because,
right?
I didn't know if it was like a SimCopter joystick situation. So he pulls it out and he's like, do you want to see it? And Zoya afterwards was like, no way in the world that I think that you're going to want to see this thing. I'm like, yeah, fucking show it to me. And it's like this long. And I was like, this part was in your kidney. This part was in your bladder. And it's out now. There are people online who like save their stents as a reminder to drink water. And I was like, as soon as it was out, I was like, I felt like, I didn't feel like my dick belonged to me for since the process started. It really does feel like, it's like you can't use this for anything you want to use it for. Everything, your bodily functions are all going to hurt. And then when it was out, I was like, fuck, this is my first couple seconds of being like normal again.
Back to you again.
And now today is like the most normal I felt. Dude, two weeks ago.
You made it, buddy. You made it.
2 weeks ago, when we were talking about Beetlejuice and we had that big, long, uncomfortable conversation. First of all, there's not a day that I've ever been in the same room with you when I was looking to pick a fight.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyone online who is like, Mike just wakes up looking to pick a fight, that doesn't exist. No. You're wrong, and know how wrong you are about that. There are parts of our personality that click like perfect puzzle pieces, and there's parts of our personality where we just have a disconnect sometimes, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then
kind of like most friendships, most relationships,
kind of like real friendships. And not people that you see on a screen that you think are perfect all the time. So that was the day before surgery, so just know that like all this anxiety definitely pours into it. It, when you have bad anxiety to the point, you guys know, to the point where you have to be like medicated for it. It's like you have to be medicated because it destroys every other part of your life.
Oh yeah. And how are you supposed to maintain every other part? Exactly.
So I'm about to go through this whole process. Like when I was talking about when your back starts hurting, where you know you have kidney stones, the first thing that goes through my mind is like emergency room, CAT scans, the actual process, everything after the process, the anxiety between processes. And this is all what I'm thinking as I'm sitting here talking to you about Beetlejuice aging.
Well, you just never know what someone's going through, ever. You
never know.
You never fucking know. But now
you do. Because it took me an hour to explain it, and I'm sorry that it took up that much time. But it is just like this incredible experience. Like, shout out Dr. Yugobian at UCLA.
Dude, this is our show. And we can do whatever the fuck we want on it. Yes. No one's like over here going like, you can't say that.
Right. Play AI music for the next hour.
And we're just trying to make each other laugh. And like, you never know what someone's going through. And dude, I can pinpoint times. I think we've talked about this in like the SourceFed days or whatever shit that we've made in our past where you're like, I felt like absolute fucking shit making that. Yep. And yet look at the big smile on my face and how I'm fighting through it.
No one
ever knew how hard it was to like fight through intense feelings of anxiety and emotional pain and depression and whatever while still trying to be a funny person. It's really hard. And sometimes it's so hard to fight through those feelings that you just like have an off day.
Sometimes you don't have like my meter for tolerance of stuff was so low, like I didn't have it to do the fight through part.
Right.
Or to say like, you know, when you could let stuff go, that takes hearing something you maybe don't agree with and the ability to let it go takes energy.
Yeah.
And by that point, I didn't have any left.
Yeah.
So,
but it's like, you know, it just
turns into a more uncomfortable thing when it could have turned into like agree to disagree. What's next? Right.
And it's like, you shouldn't have to like reiterate what it's like to be a human to people who listen to this show for free or whatever. Comment
on the show or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like the bottom line is you just never know what someone's dealing with. And then like, you know, maybe someone would say, well, then why would that even be aired? Like, why would you even release that?
Yeah, good question.
It's like, to me, it's like, you know, out of all the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of episodes or whatever or things we've made, it's nice to like let reality come through a little bit and see that like Mike and I are really good friends. We've known each other for a very long time. We're like family at this point.
Yes.
And so it's like, you fucking fight with your family sometimes, and that's real. And I think that that's like something that needs to be seen sometimes. And, you know, it's not every episode, it's not every other episode. It's so rare.
So rare.
And it's like,
but it is in there if you have 407.
Right. It is in there. You but know? It's
and
like,
if it's not, it's like, what's going on with those robot people?
Yeah. But you just never know what someone's going through. And like a little empathy, dude, instead of being like, or angry or whatever.
But I mean, you turn on a thing and you just want it to be your like happy escape.
Totally.
And it's a argument. Like I fully get that you don't want that. And we don't want to give that to you, but sometimes it happens. And even going, like, I honestly can't talk about any of this stuff, but going back 2.5 months to, like, the everything that happened with JFL and just knowing this show that I worked so hard and, like, got to the top of, like, being able to sell a show and then the company I sold it with going away and everything that happens as a fallout from that, it's like, that's where it started. And that was 2.5 months ago. And then so many things, like being with one of my best friends while she lost her father and seeing that shit happening with my family, shit happening, like fucking like little idiot stuff between you and me. And it's like it all piles up and it has nowhere to go. And then yesterday I felt like all of my problems were ripped out of my cock.
Mike, you're a fucking superhero, dude. You really have fought through some really intense physical, medical shit in your life. And it's an inspiration, dude. Because most people would be like, uh-uh. And or let it get real bad or ignore it or whatever or not do anything to take care of themselves. But you're like, it's helpful for people to hear these stories. And it's inspiring, dude. Because I'm fucking terrified. I've had kidney stones. Like, and I've since the first time I had that really bad one, have had like little ones that didn't need hospital visits.
Yeah.
And it's like that just means it's going to be part of me for the rest of my life, probably.
And I'll let you know what happens with this. Like, they're going to analyze everything and they're going to like let me. And kidney stones are real personal to you. Like, the reason why I make them might not be the reason why you make them. But I swear to you, I've talked to you. I said like many times offline, if they told me I had to go plant based tomorrow, I would. Like, I've already stopped smoking weed, which I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It's just like I have this thing in my brain now where I don't want any fake shit in me because I don't want my body to produce any like byproduct of like fake shit.
Hell yeah, dude.
So I'll let you know what happens. If anyone can learn anything from it, just like keep drinking water and keep flushing yourself out and take care of yourself. Have empathy. Have patience with the people around you. Like you said, you never know what people are going through. And come see me in New Jersey, because there's only a couple tickets sold and I don't really know anybody in New Jersey.
How were the Santino shows?
Just the best.
Like, did you have a good time?
I had the best time. I would say first show, I had some, like, they were all good, but varying degrees of good. First show was fine. Second show was good. Third show, after a day of like writing with my favorite comedian and like trying new stuff that me and my favorite comedian came up with that day, it's like I fucking ripped on the third show.
That's awesome.
And then fourth show, he told me, like, by the time you're on your fourth show and you're like, we're going home pretty soon, you're like, let's get in and let's get it done and let's get out. He was Trey, the host, Trey Tutson. He did a great job. As he was introducing me, Santino opens the door to the green room and he's like, do 15 instead of 20. So on the stairs up to the microphone, what's getting cut? But even that is like a good exercise. Yeah. He goes, sorry. It's just fucking, it's awesome to be able to do stuff with, like, I met Santino like 15 years ago and he was like such a big, so gay to cry to such a big inspiration to even to do it. And then for him to be so like complimentary and be like, no crowd work. I don't want to see you talk to the audience at all. Like, I just want to see you like work. And then to work and to do great was awesome.
Dude, fuck yeah, Mike. Yeah. I love you, buddy. That's so awesome.
Dude, to go through all that physical shit and then have the crying for people confident is so stupid.
Dude, you're... listen. Yeah. I mean, this is someone you love and respect. And when you have a mutual respect with someone like that, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And you earned it, dude. You deserve it. You're fucking so hardworking. And to get crying, to that...
I'm not crying because I'm happy. I'm crying because they left the camera inside.
They did. Damn, that's crazy.
They left a Mevo camera inside me just to spy.
Well, we've got some Patreon content where Kevin's going to rip it out of me.
He rips the Mevo camera out of me.
Mike, I love you, man. I'm glad you could be vulnerable. And
I love you too, Kevin. I'm sorry if you were fucking... if you're ever uncomfortable in here because it gets weird and bickery, but I love you guys very much. Oh, very thankful to make this with you guys.
It's beautiful, man. What a weird fucking life we have.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is this shit? It's
an illusion. Nothing is real.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show today. We're going to record the ads as soon as we end it.
Great.
And then we'll drop them in the 30-minute mark. But guys, thank you so much.
Can I do dates?
Yeah, do it.
Dude, so important. This is like next week, so I'm at Moon Tower. We'll just go from Moon Tower. From the April 17th to the 22nd, I'll be in Moon Tower in Austin, Texas, doing Surrounded and spots around town. On the 23rd, I'll be in New York City at The Stands, my home in New York City. I love it there very much. 8:30 in the main room, 9:30 upstairs, 11 o'clock in the main room. On the 24th, I'm at the Stress Factory in New Jersey. If you know any, even extended family you haven't talked to in years in New Jersey, tell them to come out to the Stress Factory on the 24th. On the 25th, I'm back at The Stand, 10:45 in the main room, and probably some other stuff as it gets closer. On the 26th, I'm doing Surrounded in Bridgeport, Connecticut. That show's a little over half sold out. Fucking keep it going. So it's all the way sold out. It's going to be awesome. Come ask me embarrassing stuff in front of everyone I grew up with. On the 7th, of May, that's Surrounded at the Netflix is a Joke Festival. One show in the Bourbon Room at 7:30, one show in the Bourbon Room at 9:45. Craziest lineup we've ever had on a Surrounded. 7:30 is Steph Tolev, Rick Glassman, Laura P., Chris Riggins, and me. 9:45 is Trevor Wallace, Michael Blaustein, Willie Simon, who's one of my favorite people on the fucking planet, Usama Siddiqui, and Audrey Stewart, another one of my favorite people. That and spots around town. Always check my stories. Steve, you have a show coming up.
Yeah, on the 26th, Matt, Rob, and I are doing a show called Movie Wanna. We're going to watch movies, a movie, and be very high together in a hotboxed little room. And it's going to be bonkers and weird, and we're going to do weird, fun shit. And it'll be funny, for sure.
Awesome. Kevin's dancing. Kevin's dancing, and he's doing like he's controlling two marionettes.
And they look great.
They're doing great.
They look real.
And they're doing the same dance somehow.
They have. They're also like looking right scheme. At me somehow. No one else. Well, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you. I'll catch you next time on Dynamic Banter.
To your health.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.